The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1011. It's the 7th of March, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Mark Hayhoe, Chief Operating Officer of Harvest Minerals, it's HMI ticker, and Mark discusses the detail of the major sales order they signed with Agrocerrado, a key fertilizer distributor in Brazil. Plus, I also have Leon Coates here, CEO of Jubilee Metals Group, JLP, and Leon goes over some of the highlights from the interim results up to the 31st of December, and also discusses some more recent progress. Plus, Julian Traeger, CEO of Anglo Pacific Group, that's APF, and Julian talks about the current commodity environment and why he thinks the current bullish cycle will be longer than most people think. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Hayhoe, Chief Operating Officer of Harvest Minerals, that's HMI ticker. Mark, thanks for joining me.
Hi, thank you.
It's good to chat to you. I know we have had Brian on the podcast several times and he's talked about the project. But for people, Mark, not aware of Harvest Minerals and what you do, could you sort of summarise, please?
Yes, certainly. Harvest Minerals, we're an AIM-listed Brazilian fertilizer producer. We produce a completely natural multi-nutrient fertilizer in Brazil, purely for the local Brazilian market. And just sort of really summarize what we've been doing over the last couple of years, if you look back at 2016, it was all about de-risking and concentrating on our operations. So we understood the geology, did our resource definition, did a scoping study, did all our permitting and put in all our mining infrastructure. And in last year, 2017 was all about developing the market and developing our product, KP Fertil. So we excavated our first 50,000 tons of product. We did extensive agronomic work throughout the year, and we'll continue to do that going forward. We recruited a sales team. We put in an initial trial processing plant. And that sort of culminated in us getting our first sales towards the end of last year. And that puts us in a position now where we feel the project's de-risked, it's very simple to understand, and the concentration going, the real sort of drive going forward is really concentrating on sales growth and revenue generation and turning Harvest into a highly profitable business.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, let's talk about the news out today. You just announced the signing of a major sales contract. So tell us about this. How significant is it, Mark?
I mean, it's huge for us. I mean, to say we're pleased is a bit of an understatement. You know, we said at the start of the year that, you know, 2018 was all about sales growth and revenue generation. All our sales team and the agronomics team, and in fact, everybody in Brazil has worked really hard over quite a length of time sort of to sign this and deliver this contract with Agrocerrado, which is, you know, largely our first major sales contract. And it justifies our decision at the start of the year to order a plant expansion, which will take us up to about 320,000 tons per annum by the start of Q2.
Wow. So give us some more detail on the numbers here on the contract and also on Agrocerrado itself, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the headline numbers, you know, the initial contract is for 36,000 tons. Mm-hmm. It's an agreed sales price of 200 real per ton, which is the current exchange price is about $62 per ton. So that gives us a contract worth in excess of $2 million in sales. You know, which for us is huge at this point and a huge step forward. But if you sort of step back and look more beyond the sort of headline numbers, you know, we're located in the heart of the biggest and fastest growing agricultural belt in Brazil. We've got a huge, you know, multi-million ton potential market right on our doorstep. And Agrocerrado, you know, has been selling and distributing fertilizers and agro products for the last 25 years directly into this market. So it gives a significant market penetration, which, you know, by ourselves would have taken us a long time to achieve. And going forward, you know, we'd hope to build on the back of this.
Okay, Mark, just on the certification for KP Fertile, your product there, I know this will help sales, of course. I mean, you've done tests to prove that the product works, is safe and all this, but you need that sort of rubber stamp from the Brazilian government. And I was expecting to be sort of early Q1, but it's obviously been a bit delayed. Any idea when this will be happening?
Yeah, I mean, just to give you a little bit of background, you know, back in sort of March, first quarter 2016, the government introduced a new classification of fertilizers, which we call a remineralizer. And the idea of this is to stimulate local production of fertilizers, because Brazil's, you know, got a big deficit in locally produced fertilizer and has to import a huge amount. And that fits squarely in what our product is. So, like I said, we did a lot of agronomic work last year, and it's really just, you know, proving that the product works, there's nothing harmful in there. And, you know, we tick all the boxes in that, and we applied on time. And it's just, you know, just going through the process. We thought it would be earlier. It looks like it should be this month now, towards the end of this month. We should get it. I've got no doubts we will get it. But in reality, it doesn't seem to be holding us back, as you know, this contract we just signed today sort of proves.
Yeah, absolutely. And even this contract, I'm trying to work out your margins, which is amazing, because of course your margins there, your all-in costs are under $10, and you're selling here for $62. Fantastic margin, and based on 35,000 tons, that's about $1.8 to $1.9 million of profit. So that's good cash flow, isn't it? And I suppose enough to expand the business, isn't it?
Yeah, we've already put in a lot of work on expanding the business anyway. I mean, the margins are significant. Our focus now is on sales growth, revenue generation, you know, turning it into a highly profitable business and, you know, generating significant returns for our shareholders. Our business is designed to be scalable and quickly, you know, expand. We already ordered and sort of paid for the expansion to the plant. I ordered that beginning of January. That's been manufactured now. It'll be installed and commissioned early Q2. So that'll already take us up to 320,000 tons per annum capacity, which, you know, will expand our sales. And as sales rise up to meet that, we'll be generating a huge amount of cash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that'll easily fund any future developments we need. But, you know, we should be a hugely profitable business, and, you know, we look forward to making good returns there for our shareholders.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you know, you've got a massive resource, haven't you? I mean, on the figures at the bottom of your RNS, you say you've got 400, you could basically mine life of over 100 years at a rate of 450,000 tons per annum based on just 6.7% of known mineralization. So that's huge upside potential if you need to expand, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at the moment we've got just over 13 million tons of resource. If we do up to 450,000 tons per annum of production, which is purely based on our contract miner and how long it took them, we wouldn't need to expand their operation, just getting back in and getting mine all year round. That'll give us 450,000 tons. That would give us about 26 years, or just over 26 years of production. But that's only based on a small amount of what we know is there. This is a Our product is a natural fertilizer. It's basically a lava which has been weathered. So it's a lava flow, so it's continuous. We've been able to map it, we've drilled it and done some geophysics over it. So we know there's a lot of material there. If we were able to turn that all into resource in the same conversion rate, we'd have, you know, well over 100 years of material at 450,000 tons. Gives enough. The resource for us and the material we've got isn't the issue. It's about how quickly we can penetrate the market.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent stuff. Well, Mark, good news today. And if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of this but are not yet following Harvest Minerals on Vox Market, give them three quick, brief reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, firstly, we're completely natural multi-nutrient fertilizer. We're located in the heart of the biggest market. We've got a multi-million ton potential market right on our doorstep. You know, secondly, compared to most of the companies our size, we're revenue generators. We generated first revenue last year. We've got a big contract we just signed today, and the focus going forward is on sales growth and revenue generation. And then thirdly, as you mentioned before, we're low cost, high margin. So as we expand, $7.50 is our expected OPEX. Sales price today on that contract was $62, gives us a significant margin. You know, we should be a highly profitable business going forward. We've always said, you know, Harvest Minerals is about three things. It's the right commodity, in the right location, at the right time. And, you know, we firmly believe we're on the cusp of something special. And right now is the right time for Harvest and our shareholders.
Marvellous stuff. Mark, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Leon Kotsia, CEO of Jubilee Metals Group. That's JLP. Leon, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, you've had your interim results out for the 31st of December, or to the 31st of December 2017, and we'll get into some of the highlights from that in a bit. Before we do, Leon, someone listening right now has never heard of your company. Summarise it for them, if you could, please.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Justin. So Jubilee Metals Group is a company that focuses on the recovery of metals from surface assets. We do that by acquiring the rights to surface assets in various key metal groups, and then we apply our processes and our expertise to recover those metals. We currently have a number of operating plants that are operating and producing cash flow for us, and we're currently diversifying into base metals, and we also invested across borders into several countries.
Okay, well, explain those countries. Where are you operating at the moment, Leon?
Okay, so at the moment, we have operating facilities in South Africa recovering PGMs, that's platinum group metals, which include a variety of precious metals, coppers and nickels, as well as chrome. Operating in South Africa, and then we've acquired a position into a Zambian entity, and we're busy concluding the design for the construction of a lead, zinc and vanadium refinery in Zambia. And we have a number of projects under our portfolio being evaluated, ranging from Australia, Tasmania, in Africa, and of course in Southern America. The key mining jurisdictions really is where we are drawn to.
Yeah, and you said that you're moving into sort of base metals as well. Why is that? Is the market getting more buoyant for this, Leon?
Well, it's two reasons. One reason, of course, is that in the recovery process of platinum and its associated metals, you target the recovery of the associated base metal. So from a technical and expertise level, our company has particularly high level of skills in the base metal recovery space. And then yes, base metals such as cobalt, such as lead, zinc, associated with some of the electric cars, are very much in favor at the moment, and we have the ability to secure quick access to these minerals and recover them.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's go in, let's dig into some of your highlights from the interim results. Leon, take me through them if you could.
Yeah, sure. I suppose for us, the key highlights really from the last 6 months' operations ending December is the fact that, well, in the first place, as a company, we are cash flow positive. We've made positive earnings for the 6 months of roughly £1.5 million. Those are earnings that exclude non-cash expenses. Non-cash expenses are expenses such as share-based payments, which are part of the auditing functions, which is for us a very positive point. It means that the company is generating cash and therefore is strengthening its balance sheet month on month. For us, another key number that stands out for this period is the size of our investment into our assets. These investments are towards acquiring surface assets, building plants, and developing processes to recover those metals. And, you know, we total a value of £14 million invested into these projects over the period. And then what particularly stands out then is the fact that of all of that investment, we currently only hold debt of roughly £1.8 million being paid off through our own positive cash flow. So it's a company generating cash, stepping up its investment into securing surface assets, building plants and developing processes, but not increasing its debt. So a very healthy balance sheet for a company. And those are key numbers that really stands out for us and achievements. And of course, what we then show is the operational numbers achieved over the 6 months, and also to give a bit of a glimpse into where we are currently. And we do that to show that as much as the last 6 months is very positive for a company generating positive cash flow, our operations are performing even better than the previous 6 months already. And within the first 2 months of operation, we give an idea of just the platinum group metal ounces produced over the first 2 months, already reaching roughly 3,000 ounces, which is halfway of the total ounces produced in the previous 6 months. So it gives an idea of how far we'll overshoot the production numbers from the past 6 months in the coming 6 months, just to demonstrate that the earnings numbers we are producing is on a strong growth trajectory for the company.
Well, do you know what? You almost predicted what I was going to ask then, because I said it's all fair and well, obviously, reporting the last 6 months, because, a lot of decent share investors will know the historic figures, and even though they're good to look at, you know, the outlook is what is important, and the fact that you say now that's even improving on that, which is, it's definitely an assurance and for shareholders. So you think it's going to keep going this way in a positive performance, yeah?
Yes, very much so. Our operations are coming to a nice mature level. Cash flows are becoming mature in these companies. And of course, we have, as we've told our shareholders, for 2018, we've set ourselves quite a strong target on implementing and executing some of our exciting assets we have in our project portfolio, because beyond the operations currently producing and generating earnings, we have a project portfolio stacked with exceptionally exciting projects. And they include further platinum and chrome projects in South Africa that we are have announced to our shareholders that we have to build a PGM recovery plant at our Delacong operation. We're currently concluding the review of our Platcrow PGM project to decide whether we will be building a dedicated plant for that to process that material, or whether we'll in fact be renting capacity at the current existing operating facility. Then, of course, there's our Zambian operation, which is the lead, zinc, vanadium target. We've over the past months worked with that team, and we've improved and optimized the circuit flow significantly with the two technical teams working together. Very excited on that project. Of course, we've had the setback in Zambia with the license, or the small scale license, being terminated by the Zambian government, very unexpectedly so, in January. But BMR, our partner company there, have submitted the appeal, and we've had very encouraging engagements with the ministry there, and I expect a positive outcome from those engagements, and we'll keep our shareholders appeased with that progress.
Excellent stuff. Well, if someone is listening who's not a shareholder but likes the sound of where you're headed with the company, the progress you're making, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please, Leon.
Ah, thank you, man. So for me, I suppose the one of the outstanding points is the fact that we are a listed company on AIM that is cash flow positive. That cash flow is being generated by a diverse group of metals. We're not just exposed to a single metal or a single commodity. Secondly, we have a project pipeline of near-term projects that offer significant potential to grow our current earnings dramatically within the near term for this company. And I honestly believe that as a Jubilee Metals Group, we are perfectly positioned to now capitalize on our leading position we hold in the industry to recover metals from the surface waste and historical tailings material in the world, to take a commanding position in the industry for the recovery of metals from surface assets. So really low risk business strategy, low capital, and quick to generate earnings.
Marvellous stuff, Leon. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Julian Traeger, Chief Executive Officer of Anglo Pacific Group. That's APF ticker. Julian, thanks for joining me.
Good afternoon, Justin. Thanks for having us on the call.
It's always nice catching up with you. And since we last spoke, you've been travelling around and going to several conferences. We'll get your views on the market there. But before we do, Julian, for people listening right now and not aware of Anglo Pacific, explain, summarise, what is the company about, please?
So we're a unique company listed on the LSE, also listed in Toronto, that funds mining businesses around the world, generally in safe places, in exchange for a share of their revenues, or sometimes a share of their product.
Excellent stuff. And can you summarize some of the places you are? Where have you funded and what are you involved with, Julian?
Well, we're most exposed to Australia. We've also got big holdings in Brazil, in Canada, and in Spain. And we are exposed generally not to gold and silver. We have quite a lot of exposure to different forms of coal. We also have exposure to iron ore. And we're moving more and more into the new materials which are used for electric vehicles like vanadium, nickel and cobalt.
Yeah, very hot spaces, and it'll be good to get your take on those. And I know since we last spoke, like you said, you've been to the Bank of Montreal conference in Florida and also in Durban, South Africa. So what's the feeling like at the Junix? It was nice to chat to you because you're at the cutting edge there.
Well, I think people are generally more optimistic about the mining sector, and people feel the corner has been turned. Not all commodities, though, are moving at the same rate. So I think in this cycle, you'll see different commodities with different trajectories. Some, like cobalt and lithium, have been very hyped and have gone up already a lot, whereas others, like uranium and diamonds, continue to be somewhat in the doldrums. But generally, people are looking to do more. Feel that this is the time to be more active. On the other hand, however, the specialist mining funds aren't seeing inflows, and so there is less capital around to fund mining, which actually creates an opportunity for us as Anglo Pacific, since we're effectively funders of a capital-intensive sector. The large companies aren't investing yet and continue to have pressure to return capital to shareholders in the form of dividends, which will mean, together with the lack of funding for smaller companies, that this cycle is going to probably be longer than people previously expected, and that the supply response will come much more slowly. So I think we're setting up for a very interesting sector performance for mining in the years ahead.
Yeah, and specifically, I mean, you mentioned there cobalt and lithium have risen quickly. I mean, so that they're quite hot as it is. I mean, obviously, do you see them going higher because of this demand? And what's actually driving it? We know, you know, pretty much every government in the world is heading towards, you know, petrols or EVs. They're heading towards that kind of policy, which is non-diesel, non-petrol. But what is driving the market here at the moment, Julian?
Well, I think it is quite speculative. I mean, clearly the volume of electric vehicles and you know, large battery storage isn't significant globally yet, but people are anticipating very rapid growth. So there is the possibility that they go higher, but probably the risk is more on the downside, certainly with lithium, which is a material which is in plentiful supply globally. And we have, in the last couple of weeks, seen signs that some very large producers are going to be ratcheting up their supply. And so I think that is giving people pause for thought.
Yeah, I mean, people are aware of, you know, lithium, aren't they, and cobalt, and now nickel. But are there any sort of metals that you see that, you know, as yet haven't been, you know, labelled that next hot commodity but will play into the EV space?
Well, clearly, I mean, nickel is starting to be that, but nickel hasn't gone up very much. Also, zinc, the zinc prices have been strong historically. We've also, we ourselves are exposed to vanadium, which has gone up, but could go up further. And you are seeing also the development of new sort of alloys, which should be interesting in terms of lightweighting and reducing the carbon footprint of much of the you know, steel type material. So I think there are a number of things. Biggest of all, of course, is copper. And copper hasn't really gone up very much, and copper was going to be in short supply anyway before the additional growth from these new technologies. So there is definitely scope to still do some very interesting things in the space before the cycle really gets too hot.
Absolutely. And as far as in Anglo Pacific is concerned, what's your next sort of milestone or next date you're looking at there, Julian?
Well, given the opportunity set, you know, we really want to accelerate our growth rate, and so we hope to do, you know, three or four transactions this year rather than the two we did last year. But the next date to look out for is the 28th of this month, March, when we should be releasing our results for last year, as well as our annual report and accounts. And then that should be followed by our AGM in the middle of May, which will also be the time when we announce our first quarter results.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Julian, well, if someone's listening to this and likes the space you're in but are not yet following the story, please give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, the first is that we're terribly cheap. I mean, we're trading at a free cash flow multiple of 6 or 7 or PE ratio 8, 9, you know, dividend very high, 5%, and very well covered. I think the second is we're going to see growth in the portfolio, and we're going to acquire growth, and we're at a very good stage of the cycle. And then the third is that this is a very interesting way to get exposure to electric vehicles and new technologies, but without paying, you know, exorbitant pricing.
Excellent stuff, Julian. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Justin. Thank you.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Just Eat. That's a biggie, a J-E dot. And they had results out yesterday. They came back a little bit, but I think quite impressive. I think off the top of my head, I think revenue is up about 40% or that. But yeah, so it's a big company. At four, i3 Energy, i3E. I did discuss them with Anna Green on the podcast yesterday. At, so that's four. At three, Petromatad, M-A-T-D. It's getting a lot of coverage at the moment because they're heading towards a drill, I think, and they're funded for that. At two, Harvest, by the way, M-A-T-D, my father owns that. I don't know how on earth he bought that. Normally he calls me up and asks me, you know, anything happening? And I've never mentioned that to him, but he turns out he owns it. I don't know how that is in his portfolio. He's not a big researcher, to be honest. At two, Harvest Minerals, HMI. Of course, spoke to Mark earlier on the podcast, a cracking little sales order there. That's before KP certification, or KP Fertile certification. And at one, it's Velocis, VLS, getting a lot of attention at the moment. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados. Oh, sorry, hang on. No, I haven't done it yet. Sorry. What am I talking about? I was miles away then. Top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Vesarion, VRS, investor event. At four, Ascent Resources, shareholder update meeting and presentation. At three, Extract Resources, alluvial mining contractor, new agreement and update. Of course, I talked to Colin yesterday on the podcast about that. At two, Harvest Minerals, major sales contract, spoke with Mark earlier. And number one, Horizonte Minerals, Q1 2008 operational update. Hopefully you're going to get Jeremy Martin, CEO, on the podcast very soon. Okay, time for a bit of a deja vu moment. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz, discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.